Hello, everyone. You know this face. He's been on the podcast for a very long time.
Okay, that's weird, her doing the intro. I'm doing the intro. So
well,
hi, everyone.
I can also do the intro as well.
Okay, fine. Max, can she do the intro?
This is the intro.
I know. Hello, can everyone. She do the intro?
It's already been done.
See? Okay,
no,
so.
No, she didn't introduce me.
Yes, yes. And this is my favorite colleague, Maria Protsenko.
Well, we are besties.
You
yeah,
are.
We are work besties, okay. Everyone, and we're together on
just
this podcast.
Just a minor critique of your
yes,
intro.
Sir.
You didn't do the clink.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Well, we didn't
so
do
the
clink,
clink
the first. The
yeah, we did. Always do the clink.
The hand, no?
No, both.
Keep clinking. Every yeah. time you make, you know, a statement.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so interesting episode tonight. A lot of our viewers like to hear about our case studies, our own cases and how we've handled them. And tonight, this is going to sound almost like a Scooby-Doo episode, but we've got two episodes or two case studies for our viewers. The first one we've decided to call the sandwich case. And we'll
yes.
get into an explanation of what that means. And then there's the TikTok case.
And then the TikTok. Yes.
So you want to start with the sandwich case because it's
right.
interesting
right.
to both use that phrase.
Both of them are my cases.
Recent wins.
Recent wins.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Yes.
Yeah, like both of them, 4 or 5 days long trials, cross-examining
lots
the complainant.
Of work, I remember.
Applications.
Been putting in lots of hours.
Right. And different kind of applications, because I had two very different applications for both these cases. So the first one.
Set it up.
So, you
this
know.
Is the sandwich.
The first
let's
one
talk
the
about the sandwich. So
do the sandwich
I'll
case.
Give a foundation of what the allegation was. So
sandwich.
You just like interjecting sandwich.
He's already hungry, by the way.
So. I am. So keep saying it. That's
so the first case is that this complainant and my client, they meet on this website, dating website.
Which one?
Plenty of Fish.
Oh, the old that's the old fart one. That's like, is that still
famous,
around?
It's
there are
famous.
Just so many these days. I can't keep tabs. But
Plenty of Fish is famous.
Is it?
Yep.
It's been around forever.
So they meet together, you know, they decide, hey, I like your profile, you're nice, let's, you know, schedule a date, we'll go to the park and, you know, we'll go for a walk. The arrangement was my client will come pick her up at her residence and then take her to the park. But the allegation was that as soon as they reached, well, let me take a step back, before they reached the park, the complainant was hungry. She, you know, said that I wanted to eat some food. They stopped at, stop laughing.
Because it gets really weird fast, folks.
Yeah, they stop at different restaurants, and it was COVID, so, you know, a lot of restaurants were closed. They couldn't really get takeout or whatever happened. They reached the park, and the allegation is that within 10 minutes of reaching the park, my client apparently says that he wasn't feeling well, and he suggested, hey, how about we go back to your place and get food there?
All right. Crafty guy.
Yeah, and this is all, I believe, within, like, I don't mean that I'm agreeing with you by saying, yeah. But
right. I know.
All of this happens within 1 hour, I guess, of meeting each other.
Right.
And they head back to her apartment, and the allegation is that as soon as they walk into the apartment, she's closing the door,
right.
and my client jumps on her, starts kissing her, pushes her on the sofa in the living room, starts kissing her there, then, you know, holds her hand, drags her in the bedroom. And then, you know, forces oral sex and sexual intercourse on her.
So serious allegations.
Right. And this is all within 1 hour of meeting each other. 1.5, 2 hours of meeting each other.
Already sounding fishy.
Right. So, but some part of her statement, I mean, fishy, yes. But what was more interesting about her statement was that she mentioned that the kissing that happened in the house,
right.
it seemed that she was okay with it. Okay, the way she described it, that she was okay with the initial kissing. It was the sexual activities that took place in the bedroom, which is what was forced. So, you know, how in sexual assault cases, if you're talking about prior sexual history, you have to bring A276 application
right.
to go there, right? Mm-hmm. Now, prior sexual history doesn't have to be something that happened before. It can be after as well. It can be anything sexual in nature.
That's not subject matter.
Which is not the subject matter of
the offense.
Right.
So I brought an application to basically get judicial guidance, motion for directions to get, you know, to get input from the judge whether the kissing is a part of the subject matter of the offense,
right?
Or is it other sexual history?
Interesting.
Because
explain what motion for directions is.
When you don't know, basically, as simple as it can be. So when you don't know, you bring a motion for directions to get judicial input. On whatever, be it whatever. Like, Your Honor, I don't know if this qualifies as sexual history. I don't know if I need to bring another sexual history
application. Well, it's trying to streamline the process instead of bringing the motion and then the Crown jumps up and everyone gets
into... Or not bringing the motion.
Or not bringing it.
And then getting stuck
trial. Right.
And so, having to bring a motion mid-trial.
It's an attempt to streamline things.
Right, so it's always better.
Get the answer from the judge.
Yeah, and it's the trial judge at the end of the day. So the trial judge says, you don't have to, you're good.
Right.
When I brought the application, my concern was this, that because she's describing the kissing to be consensual, is that prior sexual history? Or is it part of the same transaction and occurrence?
Makes sense.
Right. It was deemed that, you know, it's part of the same transaction and occurrence. We don't have to bring a prior sexual history. And that was the first time that I literally had to bring an application like that, because a lot can change. For example, if there was 10-minute delay between the kissing and whatever happened in the bedroom.
And I think there is a case law, right, that sort of that states that even, you know, 10, 15 minutes... That could be already outside of the subject matter of the offense.
Yeah, that's not unusual.
But here's what happened. So she says that, yep, everything was forced in the bedroom. I did not consent. And, you know, I just wanted him to leave. However, she testified that once the sexual activities got over, she ordered food for them.
It's the only thing to do at that
That's
point.
That's where the sandwich comes into play.
The sandwich.
The first restaurant said, sorry, it's going to take, you know, they couldn't deliver.
Right.
Then she called another restaurant and she said, you know, I would like to order. There was a 1+1 offer going on sandwiches.
What kind of sandwich, by the way?
I did not ask.
I would have asked the question.
It does not matter to me.
I know, but I still would have asked. Cross-examination. I still would have asked. What kind of a sandwich it was.
The Crown would have jumped up and said, Burry, how is it relevant? What kind of sandwich? Because it's getting close to lunch. I just want to know what kind of sandwich.
I'm getting inspiration for lunch.
Right. But I did not go there. And okay. I did not ask what sandwich it was. But it was 1+1. But what happened was that the first restaurant said that they cannot deliver. Then the second restaurant said, hey, we'll take 45 minutes to deliver. She was okay with it. Throughout this testimony in court, I'm repeatedly listening and I'm hearing that I was afraid of him. I wanted him to leave. I didn't want him to be there. But then you do this thing, which is very contrary to what you're saying.
An inconsistency, right?
Yeah, and I'm like... If you're so scared, why are you trying to order food for this individual? Like, what's really going on? It makes you think.
Of course.
Right? So, yes, that was the sandwich case. And it was very interesting for me because during submissions, my client was basically in construction. So it was never clear as to what he does in construction.
Yeah.
And the complainant provided pictures of some injuries on her hand and on her stomach. And the submission made by the Crown was that because he's in construction, he is capable of causing those marks on her.
So obviously he's a gorilla because he works in construction.
Hence, he's used to force.
Right.
Well, my rebuttal to that was that he did not really say what he was doing in construction. He could be a paper pusher as well.
Right.
And
inspection guy, you never know.
Yeah, could be working, you know, like a project coordinator, manager, engineer, whatever it may be. Right. So it's a stereotype, a male stereotype, to say that just because you work in construction, you're capable of using force on someone else. Hence, Your Honor, please draw the inference that he's capable of doing that, and he did so. Hence, guilty.
You said hence a few times there, just so you know.
That was the trail that was, you know, the submission. So okay. It kind of bothered me when that submission was, you know, being made, because you're now engaging in male stereotypes.
Wait, the Crown made that submission.
The submission was made by the Crown.
Right. And you spoke up.
And I spoke up and I did a rebuttal to that. Just because he's in construction does not mean that he's capable of using force. You can do whatever you want.
Right. You can be the guy who stands there with the stop sign.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That
was. Stereotype.
Right. And that was very interesting for me because, it reminded me of another case, which I did use in submission. The name, the citation is not on the top of my head. But basically what happened was the complainant and the accused met on a dating website, or they met each other for the first time and they engaged in anal sex. And they said, I'm not sure if it was a court of appeal or the trial judge, but I think it was a court of appeal that said that just because, you know, they met the first time, you cannot say that it is something which is totally out of an activity.
Right. And I think this, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think this is a different case that I'm thinking of.
Right.
Which was, it was a couple of years ago. There was a case where a complainant went with her girls to a strip club, male strip club. And, you know, they're having fun. And then the complainant pays a male stripper to go to a separate room for a private dance. Mm-hmm. And then they engage in a sexual activity. And and then when she exits the... I said, hmm.
Because I saw that. There was that, hmm. You and I were both thinking, what did she mean by that?
I'm like, where is she going?
That's because I remember that when she exited the strip club, her boyfriend was waiting for her.
Well, that's a
to
problem.
Pick her up. And she told him that she was sexually assaulted by the male
stripper guy.
Stripper. And he was convicted. I'm jumping ahead. He was charged with sexual assault. There was a trial. He was convicted. And on appeal, it was reversed because they were saying that one of the reasons why the judge convicted is that he was saying that this was her first time at a male strip club and her first time getting a private dance. So she wouldn't possibly engage in such a sexual activity.
It's not common sense.
So he's saying she wouldn't possibly, and they're saying, no, you're engaging stereotypes. What would a female who's never been to a strip club would engage in?
Right.
And they're like, and there was also like a stereotypes in regards to males as well, that he was the one who would initiate it, things like that. So it was actually reversed on the appeal, and okay. Can't remember if they entered an acquittal or they sent it for a new trial, but I really like that case stands in my mind that, you know.
You said there was some weirdness in your trial in the sandwich case. The sexual description, the activity.
It was a description of how the sexual activity actually took place.
And how is that relevant?
Well, when you are cross-examining, so this is what happens in a criminal case. You know, somebody makes an allegation, they go to the police, they provide a statement. When they provide a statement, they're explaining blah, 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 happened.
They don't actually say that, do they?
Well, I will cross you on your blah, blahs, but just to give you an example. They describe the nature of the offense, right?
The blah blahs.
The blah blahs. Okay. And then when you come to court, you're testifying again.
Right.
So you're going over the same stuff.
Yes.
And as defense lawyers, we're waiting to see if, you know, if there is any inconsistencies in how you're explaining things. So one of the things that in this sandwich case stood out was the way she was describing how the sexual activity took place, especially, you know, the oral sex, because she's alleging that, you know, he forced me to give him oral sex. The way she described in court was that he was holding her head and he was forcing her, you know, to give him oral sex. But the way she described it in the police statement was very different, because she says I was lying on my back, he was lying on his back, and he told me that he wanted me to give him oral sex. And then, you know, I was basically essentially, the way it was described was as though she was the one on top of him and he was lying down. So the whole question was, how is he forcing her? Rather, how much force can he really put on her?
This is getting really complicated, but continue.
How much force can he put on her while he's laying down?
Comes to physics here.
It comes to physics, literally.
I barely passed that in high school.
Like, I gotta be like this to force you, right? Or do something, or exert pressure from my body.
Right.
Like, how am I able to put the same amount of force when I'm lying down straight? Are you a good defense counsel if you're not thinking each and every way
exactly.
of defending
you
a case?
You do not leave any stone.
You don't leave any
untouched.
Stone unturned, and I want to know.
Or mattress in this case.
Like, I want to know is the act physically possible? Is my question.
Yeah.
And I want to go there. I'm sorry, it may sound
don't
bad.
Don't apologize.
But I want to go there.
That's what we do as defense counsel.
Yeah.
And you went there.
And I did go.
And what
happened? There is an inconsistency.
A bunch of inconsistencies. There was a
Pray
lot
tell.
Of... The way she described was... So in her statement, she said that, you know... Sorry, I'll go a little bit ahead. In the court testimony, she's saying, you know, he held my hair. He was forcing me to give him, you know, oral sex. And, you know, his, you know, genital hit me so many times on my face. And I'm sitting there thinking, none of that is in your police statement.
Right.
where is this new evidence coming from? Like how, and also mind it, this trial took place almost 2 years after she made the allegation, because for a year and a half, the police could not find him.
Right.
Based off just the limited information they have.
Right, not because he was fleeing.
Right, yeah, he was not fleeing. And I'm sitting there and wondering, where is this new information coming from? And then when I cross-examine her based off of what she's told the police, she's essentially saying, he's on his back, I'm on my back, and I'm on my back. And then I essentially go over, or the way she describes it, that she gave him oral sex. But none of the fact that, you know, he forced her, took her hair, forced her and pushed her on his genitals, none of that was really there. So the way she's explaining this act is very inconsistent with each other. Right. And that goes to the reliability of the complaint.
Well, that's huge, obviously, yeah.
Right. And you know, how she walked into the bedroom, she said that he threw me on the bed. But that description was very different with how she explained it in court, in the police station, actually. So
the importance of inconsistency, folks, they matter.
Yeah, it does. Because at the end of the day, you're not just judged based off of what you're saying. You're also judged based off how reliable you are as a witness, how credible you are as a witness. Is there, like I say, I always try to see if there's a motive to fabricate in a criminal case, because you never know. You never know. And you got to go there as a defense counsel if you find something. So,
okay, clearly she wasn't happy with her sandwich. So, next case is the TikTok case.
This other sexual assault of mine, they're this couple, they've been together for 25, 22 years. They have 3 children. They live in the same house.
Say that like it's so boring and sad.
No, it's not because it's boring and sad, but because it is...
That's what people do, you know.
sometimes you question. You're with someone for 22, 25 years. You don't think that you will reach to a stage where you're going to sit in court and say...
Yeah, of course.
And you're willing to throw this guy in prison for the rest, whatever time the criminal court allows.
It's a big leap, yeah.
It is. So, and you have 3 kids.
I think it also shows how different, you know, sex assault allegations could be in the context. You know, you have like first date... Or you can have, like, you know...
somebody who's been together for so many years.
Sitting in a retirement home.
Yeah, there could be motives in any of this. Because people are always asking, right? What's the motive? It could be, you know, depending on the case, it could be either brand new.
You never know. That's what I say. But any which ways, the house that they used to live in, they had a beautiful home on the outside. But inside, it was...
Oh, this is the House of Horrors case, right?
It was bad. It was not kept in a very good condition. It was dirty. I would call it dirty. I mean, some other people would... Everybody's level of...
Dirtiness.
Dirt is different. Yes.
Just cluttered? Or
no,
was
it was...
So...
It was not cluttered. It was
filthy bad.
It was bad. It was very bad. Which was actually a very big reason for the fights between the couple.
Right.
And... you know, one thing led to another. They separated from each other. And once the separation happened, they still lived in the same house for the sake of the children, but they were still engaging in consensual sexual activity with each other because they were the same house. So they had a whole relationship. Now, I had these pictures. I had this complainant say that, hey, 6 months before my client gets arrested, she says that she was sexually assaulted on 4 different occasions. On 2 occasions, he came into her bedroom, put his hand inside her pants and, you know, without her consent while she was sleeping. And the other 2 times, she says she was cornered in the kitchen and, you know, he did some things to her without her consent. Now, we undertook our own investigation of the complainant's social media account after the client was arrested. And we found these TikTok videos in which she's explaining, you know, she's just posting things. But you can tell that it's in relation to the case. There were 2 videos that we found. One was in relation to the case and the other one was actually thanking, you know, because I think she got a lot of hits on the first video. So she posted another video explaining.
Tell us, first video, what was in it?
The first video was essentially her, I think she was crying, she was feeling bad about the circumstances of what she found herself in, and, you know,
this
she's
is post-allegation.
This is post-allegation, yeah.
And she's got a lot of likes and followers.
Oh, yeah, she's got over, like, 4,000 to 6,000 likes on it, and 14,000 likes. 14,000 likes.
14,000?
And 4,000 comments on it.
So some people actually, for some people, all the stuff is very important. And
yeah. And, there was a second video which was posted as an explanation of what the first video was about, and right. She's discussing the case. So obviously it becomes relevant in a criminal case. Now, again, I have to jump hoops into like trying to get those videos into evidence, even though those videos are online and they are public.
Yeah.
I still have to go through the... You know, you're
yeah, we still have it. To file all these applications, which sometimes the clients don't.
But where's the privacy issue?
There is no privacy.
Right. So explain that to people.
It's a sexual assault case. You still have to bring an application. You still want to get permission from the judge because you don't want to be in a situation where you admit trial, you get something out, you get an objection, and the judge agrees with the objection.
So
you don't want to be in a
situation. It's a preemptive motion.
And you get interrupted for...
Yeah.
A two-stage hearing,
right.
And it takes a long time.
Of course,
and
right. You lose your momentum.
Right, yes. The trial
okay.
is...
Got it.
So, yeah, I mean, so I would rather bring the motion than not.
Right.
And I brought the motion, and during cross-examination, I'm asking her about, I show this video, these two videos, and I'm showing her, and she's responding, and my theory of the case is that you're doing this for two reasons. One is because you need the social media attention.
Influencers need material.
Influencer, yes. And the other is because you want the house, because she wanted, things were not working out.
Of course.
Client she wanted him out of the house?
Yes. Client was always angry about the house, and, you know, she was angry that he was angry about the house.
Bless you.
So, you know, there was a motive to fabricate. And what eventually happened was that she did not agree with me that she did it for the followers, that she did it to make it go viral. She was not agreeing with me on that. So I did have two screenshots in which it showed that she had hashtags on the videos. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but hashtag, especially characterizing certain, you know, attention, you know, audience that you're trying to get, you know, right. attention from, I think that's what gets your videos out there, if you have hashtags. So she had appropriate hashtags on those videos, which is contrary to what she was saying, that it was not done for the influencers.
I remember seeing those videos.
What were the hashtags say? What did they say?
I do not remember at this point in time, sir. I apologize.
I remember seeing those videos.
There were 10 or 12 all those hashtags.
I apologize.
And they were very... I remember seeing those videos.
Were,
and I was like,
they,
yeah.
We did discuss that.
No, but
yeah.
were they
we
along,
work as a team on a lot of the cases.
But were they along the lines of, I'm a victim or something like that?
I don't know, but it was mostly like the ones that I do remember were like family. There was some hashtags
about
family.
Inflammatory. Like she's trying to get the audience. Like that's the key.
Right. Okay.
You have
she's not just trying
crying.
To get the story out. She's like really trying to get the audience.
Got it.
Right.
That was the feel.
Yeah.
Of that
was the
those
feel.
TikTok
yeah.
videos.
Okay.
And again, you come down to, and one of the things that really stood out to me in the case was the complainant said that, I never made this allegation. It was apparently the daughter who called the police, and
right.
she just happened to mention the police officers that I think he's mad because he's been trying to sleep with me and I've been saying no or something to
right,
that effect.
Right.
And what essentially happened was that she said that, you know, I come from a family where we keep what happens at home and we don't talk to people about it.
Right.
But the issue was that she also mentioned in her statement that she only told two guys who she was poking online with and she was online friends with, and every time a sexual assault was happening or every time maybe a sexual assault allegedly happened, she was telling them that, hey, this happened. So there is no reconciliation.
She's keeping it at home, yet she's
broadcasting it to the world.
Yeah.
Right. There's no reconciliation. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but that just the whole concept of you wanted to keep things because you were raised in a certain manner does not
jive.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So what was the value of raising
this
issue?
The judge allowed the TikTok videos.
Oh, 100%. The judge allowed the TikTok videos. She did not. What is a privacy interest?
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
They're public.
She's posted it online herself.
Did the Crown attorney object?
I don't think the Crown attorney objected, but I think the complainant's lawyer objected to it.
On what grounds? Just because ground? They use that one sometimes.
I could be wrong. I honestly, I don't remember if she objected or not. I did receive a lot of objections on quite a few things in the areas that I wanted to go in my 276,
right.
278.
Okay.
But I don't think she objected to the videos because the videos, it's common sense. It's online.
Oh, yeah.
There's no privacy interest. Like, how do you object to that? So to give credit to her lawyer, I don't think she objected to that. I could be wrong. But.
So how did use of this factor into the ultimate finding, do you think?
Well, it came down to her reliability and credibility out of everything, because she said she didn't do anything for the audience, for the influencer, you know.
Explain that for folks again, because
what do you mean?
The difference between reliability and credibility.
Well, you can be, you know, you can say that this happened, and you know, you can be the, you know, the most believable person. You can be the most
credible
nicest person, credible in one way, but the source of information that you provide is, are you reliable? Can I believe you? Is the question. That's what it comes down to. Do I really believe what you're saying? The issue in this case was that, yes, she's making these allegations, and she's very well versed with her statement as to what she told the police. Very, very well versed. But the question ultimately came was, you have these two videos, and it's in direct conflict with some of the things that you've said. The question arises, are you doing this for the right reasons?
Right.
So, are you a reliable person? Can I rely on the fact of whatever you are suggesting, whatever you are claiming? Can I rely on the representations that you've made? So that's where I think she lost.
Was that a huge factor?
The videos were a huge factor in the decision making, in my opinion, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the client was acquitted?
The client was acquitted of all charges. Yeah, I mean, that's why you want to look into the complainant statement. You want to look into her
social media.
You want to see TikTok. You want to see
Facebook.
You never
know, right?
You never know.
Do you find a lot of these, when we do these explorations of social media, a lot of they just have their accounts open, public facing, right?
Some of them, yes.
I find that odd, but it happens.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're at that point. Thank you for
We click again.
So we got it. Max can probably insert
I'm
a clinking sound.
Okay. I have been sipping on it.
You have been sipping.
Thank you for watching us.
The wine episodes. Well, yes. So very interesting. Thank you for sharing those cases. You get to do the pillow talk now.
Oh, where is it?
Right there. Beside you. Locked and loaded.
Okay. People. Donate.
Donate. No, that's her other fundraising on Kickstarter or
something. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and share.
Yeah, a little bit more.
Yay!
Okay, that's fine. The yay just seals the deal for me. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.